Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week I'm sharing with you about how important knowing God is. And I know that that sounds very, very simple, and most people just think, oh, well, I know God. But it's because most people just operate on an intellectual level. They say, I know God. They know that He exists. They believe that He's real. They may have had some contact with Him. But there is a big difference between knowing God intellectually and knowing Him experientially. As a matter of fact, you know the word know in the Bible was used consistently all the way through the Old Testament to describe the most intimate personal relationship between a man and a woman. It says like in Genesis chapter 4 that Adam knew his wife Eve and that she conceived. And it is used that way all the way through the Bible. So knowing, in a scriptural sense, is talking about intimacy, personal knowledge. And so this is what I'm describing. I believe that a lot of people know that God exists. And even a lot of Christians may know God as Savior. And they may have received salvation. But there is a huge difference between knowing Him as just Savior and having experienced that, and then going on in to know Him on as friend, as Jesus said, that I call you not servants, but I'm calling you friends. We need to enter into a relationship with God to where we know Him in the scriptural sense of the word and we are intimate with Him. And this week I've just been showing that this is really the goal of everything. Getting your need met is essential. It may be life-threatening right now. It may be very important. It may have a priority in your life. But I'm telling you that just getting something from God isn't as important as knowing God Himself. If you would come to know God, you wouldn't have to always run to someone else to get them, because they know God, to pray for you and to release the power of God. You could receive directly from the Lord. And so this is really important. This is what I've been talking about this week. Let me go back. Yesterday I ended with Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, and Paul said, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And I spent a lot of time yesterday just talking about this perspective that the Apostle Paul had, the value system. He valued knowing God so much that everything else in comparison was like dung. Boy, what a radical statement. And that is definitely different than most people today. Most people look at God and their relationship with God as maybe an add-on, maybe something that adds an extra dimension. But to be the core, the very center of your relationship, the most important thing of all, that's not the attitude that most people have. Most people actually seek God when they get their back against the wall and they're in trouble and they know it's beyond human ability. Then they call on the Lord to help them. But the Lord is an addition, an add-on to most people's lives. And yet that's not what the Scripture presents at all. Paul here is saying that everything in comparison to knowing Jesus was like dung. That's the way our life ought to be. And if it would be that way, you would find out that not only would you come to know God, but it would provide you with so much joy and peace and anointing and power and faith and all of these things. They just come as a byproduct of knowing God. You know, I actually remember when I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was still in my Baptist church and I was trying to keep it quiet. I was trying to tell people, about knowing God and that there was more than just being born again, that there was this experience of power, but I was trying to keep this speaking in tongues a secret because it would cause me a lot of rejection and persecution in the Baptist church. And I remember talking to one woman and she just said, "You're talking about this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues." And I said, "Well, yes." And she says, "I know you speak in tongues." And I said, "Well, how do you know that? I haven't ever told anybody." And she says, "I can tell." She says, "I can tell the days that you spend time in the presence of God and speak in tongues." And you know what? That was quite a testimony to me. And she started giving me days. She says, and she pointed out certain days and she says, "You spent times praying in tongues on this day and this day and this day." And it was exactly true the days that I had spent, you know, an hour or 2 hours praying in tongues, it was noticeable. And my point through relating that story is to say that if you get into the presence of God and spend time with God, everything else comes out of that. It's noticeable. People should be able to tell it. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts, you know, the apostles were timid, shy people prior to the day of Pentecost, and after the day of Pentecost came and after they received this gift of speaking in tongues, they went out in the third chapter of the book of Acts and they healed this man who had been lame from his mother's womb. And when this happened, the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priest, drew them before the council and began to criticize them and say, "You can't do this and you can't preach." And they just boldly stood up and said, "You judge yourself. What should we do? Obey God or you?" And they were bold in the face of persecution. The very people who had crucified Jesus just a matter of days before. And they were totally bold. And when it says in Acts chapter 4 that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, knowing God, spending time with God shows. Man, I think that's powerful. You know, it's one thing to have a nice house, nice car, to have all of these things, but I don't want to be known for the things that I possess. I would love to have it that people look at me and say that he knows God. Man, I can tell that you know God. I can tell the influence of God in your life. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about, and I think that this ought to be every one of our goals. It says that I may count everything but loss and count them but dung that I may win Christ. And in verse 9, here's the result of that, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here again, the Apostle Paul just continues to go on. After he said he counted everything but loss, and comparatively counted it like dung compared to knowing Christ, he says then he wanted to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness is of God by faith. And then he comes back to saying that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Notice that knowing God comes before the power of his resurrection. Most people are wanting to go straight to, I want to see the power of God operate in my life, either for healing or deliverance or anointing to minister to other people or something so that you can receive. People are wanting to see a demonstration of God's power in their life. They're asking for God's help. But this says you know him, and then the next thing is the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. I'm just trying to say this, that knowing God has to be the foundation. It's like the bottom rung on the ladder. Everybody's wanting to obtain up here to where they could start seeing healings or deliverance or peace or victory or some area, and yet they aren't wanting to take these first few steps. Knowing God is what causes everything else to work. And I just don't know how to say that any better than what I've been saying, and yet I know that most people just don't see the importance of this. If what I'm saying is true, then you know what? This ought to be the focus of every Christian. It's like in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. And if you were to go into the verses prior to that, the things that he was talking about is what you eat and where you sleep and what you're clothed with, all of your physical needs. If we would just know Christ, seek first the kingdom of God and know him, if that was the heartbeat of every person watching this program, if you truly knew God, then everything that you need would come out of knowing God. If there is something you're doing wrong that is hindering the power of God from manifesting in your life, God would show it to you if you were in communion with him. I can't tell you the number of times, you know, I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer. That probably goes without saying. Most of you can perceive that. And yet God has done wonderful things in my life. He has been good to me. I have seen awesome, awesome, awesome things happen. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle that God has opened up the realm of influence that I have ministering to people. And you know, there have been a lot of adjustments along the way, but I can say that the most important thing in my life is just knowing God. As I am in relationship with God, the Lord tells me what to do, shows me things to do. You know, just recently, we were trying to go on the largest Christian television network in the United States. It's at least 3 to 5 times as large as any other network in the United States. And I've been trying to go on there for years. And they have consistently said no. And my media buyer told me there's as many as 400 to 500 people on a waiting list to get on. And anyway, a lot of things have happened, but just about 4 or 5 months ago, I sat down with some of my staff and I said, you know what? They aren't opening up a daily time slot. What would happen if we were to produce a once-a-week program and make that available? Maybe we could get a weekly time slot when they haven't given us a daily time slot. So we began the process of developing that, and there was a lot of effort, a lot of things involved. It's a different concept and some other things. And anyway, the very day that we came out with a pilot program and had our first pilot program for this daily program, or for the once-a-week program, that same day we got a call from that network, and they accepted our once-a-week program. Now, let me just ask you, how in the world could we have known that? And, you know, we would have been 4 or 5, maybe 6 months behind the curve if they just would have offered us this time slot once a week, and we would have been caught flat-footed and unable to prepare. How did all of these things come to pass so that on the very day that we put out a pilot program and had it available, we're still a little behind, and I mean, it definitely was not a coincidence that the day we produced the first pilot program is the day we got accepted on a week, once-a-week program on that station. You know how all that happens? Just out of personal relationship with God. God goes to speaking to you. God knows what's coming in advance. God can prepare you. God can show you these kind of things. And I tell you, most people, I'm not saying this in a condemning way at all, but I'm just trying to explain why we see so much effort, so much struggle in the Christian life. It's because most of us aren't in this relationship with God to where we're seeking first the kingdom of God and listening to Him. We just go around like a blind person until we bump into a wall, until we fall over something. And then when we're flat of our face, when everything has come crashing down around us, then we call out for help. If we were to maintain a relationship with God, God would tell you that things are coming. He would prepare you. He would show you in advance, is what it says in John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And if you're in relationship with God, there is no way in the natural realm that we could have predicted any of these things that have been happening. There wasn't any physical proof. I've been trying to get on that network for at least 5 years actively, probably 7 years we've been trying, and it just hasn't worked. And then, boom, all of a sudden things happen, and it just coincidentally lined up with the exact time that we had prepared the weekly broadcast. See, there's no way that that stuff could happen. It's just through relationship with God. And I tell you, it could have been a crisis. If they would have offered this to us and if we weren't prepared at all, if we hadn't gone through some of the processes that we've already been through, it could have been to a place that maybe we would have even had to have turned down this opportunity that I've been praying for years. But because of relationship with God, because the Holy Spirit speaks to us and God communes to us, because it's not just a set of rules and regulations, we are having fellowship with a person, with an individual. God is a person, and you can know Him. You can talk to Him, and He can talk to you. It doesn't have to be just subscribing to some moral code. You know, this is one of the things that just sets Christianity. I'm talking about true Christianity. If it's lived the way that the Bible presents, the way that it's available, true Christianity has a relationship with a person. Whereas all the other religions of the world, they have doctrines and creeds. Some of them believe it so strongly that they blow themselves up and blow other people up and are willing to lay down their life and to do things. But if you were to talk to them, they do not have a personal relationship. This is a foreign concept. They have a set of dogma and creeds that they will live by and kill others by. But they don't know a person. They don't have that. They don't feel that person's pleasure and feel that person's love. They don't have relationship. And this is what Christianity is really all about. It's about knowing a person. It's about knowing God. And if we would do that, I tell you, it would just solve so many problems. You know, I'm running out of time today, but let me turn over and just share with you Moses. This was his heart cry. In the 32nd chapter is where Moses had already received the commandments. The 32nd chapter of Exodus, he had already received the Ten Commandments, but then he went down and got angry at the people and broke the commandments. And he took the golden calf that they had made and ground it into powder and threw it in the water and made the people drink this gold-laden water. And then he went back up into the presence of God and began to speak unto the Lord and plead for mercy towards the people. And look at what Moses said here in Exodus chapter 33. And in verse 12 it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, Thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Now see, here's Moses. And out of all of the Old Testament characters, of course, there was different people anointed for different things. David was a powerful man, slew Goliath and became king and helped establish the nation. And in his own right, he was a dominant main character. But you know, Moses probably just, I mean, he came in the midst of an apostate period of time where the people were in bondage. It was a terrible time of oppression. The people were not prospering. There wasn't a law. There wasn't any of these things. And Moses just rose out of obscurity and came to prominence, brought these 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt, saw the mightiest nation on the face of the earth destroyed without him firing a single arrow, without him doing a single thing. It was all by the supernatural power of God. And they crossed the Red Sea, did all of these things. Moses affected not only this nation, but probably history as much as any individual outside of the Lord Jesus. I mean, Moses had made a huge difference in his day. And here's this man giving us an insight into how he did this and what made him tick. And you know what it was all about? He's saying that I want to know you. Show me your ways so that I might know you and find grace in your sight. The heart cry of Moses, the heart cry of Paul, probably in the two different covenants, the old covenant Moses, the new covenant Paul, the two people who affected history. And here we are thousands of years still talking about them. And they have affected the history of the world as much as possibly any men that have ever lived on the face of the earth. Both of these people were saying, God, I want to know you, that I count everything else but dung in comparison with knowing you. I'm showing you that there's a consistent thread here. If you want to impact your world, if you want to reach your full potential, if you want to experience everything that God has and everything that God can do, the way to doing it is just knowing God. It's personal relationship. It's not just mechanical. It's not like you just quote a scripture and say a prayer, put a coin in the slot and pull a handle and boom, here comes God. No, it's all about personal relationship. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, this is a passage of scripture that you hear quoted often. And it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Many different translations, some will say a hope and a future, and there's a lot of different ways of expressing that. But it's just saying that God has good plans for us. and to give us a positive result instead of a negative result. And then in verse 12 it says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And then the next verse says, "And I will be found of you." And he goes on and promises all of these things. There's people that call out to God because they are in a crisis situation. They're dying and they need to be healed. They're going to die if something doesn't happen. And so they are seriously believing God for healing. But you know what? They want to get healed so that they can jump right back into bed with their girlfriend instead of marrying them and following God's guidance. So that they can go right back to being an alcoholic or a drunk. So that they can go back to doing dope. So that they can go back to lusting and getting on the internet and looking at pornographic stuff and things. And they're wanting to get healed, or they're wanting God to deliver them from this crisis, but only so that they can go back to doing their own thing. Let me just suggest to you that that's not seeking with all of your heart. And this is the reason that people don't receive. One of the major reasons that people don't receive from God. See, what I'm saying is, it's not about just getting something from God. It's about knowing God. If you would seek to know Him with all of your heart, then you will. You know, a good friend of mine, Bob Nichols, has made a statement, and I've adapted it and applied it to a lot of different things. But in this instance, you could just say it this way, that as long as you can live without knowing God, then you will. But when you get to where it is your goal. One of the translations over there in Philippians chapter 3, I think it's the Amplified translation of Paul's statements. It says, "For my stated purpose and goal is that I might know Him." And it has to be that. It has to be the goal, the purpose, the focus of your life is knowing God. And if we would do that, then, like it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 and 13, "You shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search with all of your heart." When you aren't just seeking and leaving large portions of your heart that you don't care about God, you don't care about His instructions, you don't want to follow His ways, you don't want to know Him, you really want to stay ignorant so you won't have to give up and do and commit yourself to following Him. If that's the way that you're seeking God and you're only wanting help over here in this area so that you can go back to being carnal and doing things your own way, that's not truly desiring to know God, and that's one of the very reasons that things aren't working in your life. I just want to encourage you that God loves you. God wants you to know Him more than you want to know Him. The greatest examples you can find in Scripture of people who literally transformed not only their generation, but still influencing our generation today, all of them said that they want to know God, that was their heart cry. I tell you, if you want to see God's maximum potential in your life realized, then you need to know God. Not know about Him, not go to somebody else who knows Him. You need to know God.